Before I chat with writer Ted Pollard, there's a couple of things you need to know. First, I started my career as a summer intern at the Middletown Journal in the 1970s, where Ted Pollard was a reporter until 1999. So I've known Ted for about 40 years. Second, when Ted left the Journal, he worked briefly as kind of an overnight desk clerk at the historic Golden Lamb in Lebanon, which inspired the story behind his new novel, Grant's Wish. In Grant's Wish, a guy takes over managing this small town, historic red brick inn and tavern. It's got a gazebo on the corner and an ice cream shop across the street. Hey, does that sound familiar? Except in Ted's book, the place is called the Silver Swan, and it's so run down it's on the brink of closing or being demolished. Like the Lamb, the Swan had plenty of iconic guests, Dickens, Hemingway, General Ulysses S. Grant, who are part of the story by Ted, who joins us by phone from his home in Middletown. Ted, welcome to Around Cincinnati.
Thank you.
Hey, Ted, I want to start here. I knew you in the Middletown Journal as a business reporter. You covered Armco, AK Steel for years. You also worked for papers in Kansas City, in St. Louis. But after your newspaper career, you worked briefly at the Lamb, and that inspired you to write this story or this place. So tell me about that.
Well, I worked there pretty brief. I'm talking very brief, like a couple of weeks. And the reason for that is it was the night shift. Any hotel or motel, you have a night auditor. And the night auditor's job is to do the math overnight proceeds and count the revenues from each of the operations of the hotel. In this case, the Gold Lamb has a gift shop and has a bar and has a dining room and also has hotel overnight service. And then called the office of the Commodore family. I think they're still the owners of the Gold Lamb. And anyway, they'd get a call from me in the morning as to what the receipts were. I didn't last long because I just couldn't stand the shift. 4 o'clock in the morning, I couldn't do any math or add up two and two, and so I decided that wasn't the job for me. But in the meantime, when you're there all night and not a whole lot of traffic going in and out because most guests are there way before midnight, and so I had a lot of time on my hands to think about things, and you start wandering around the place and wondering about the ghosts of the past. I certainly never saw any, but when you start to think of all the people that stayed at the Gold Lamb, well, you got to be impressed. I mean, we're talking here Daniel Webster, Harry Beecher Stowe, and Ulysses S. Grant. And those rooms are essentially the same as they were then, with the exception of now they have a bathroom on each floor for men and women, but they didn't have that then. I mean, in the old days they didn't have right. That. All they had was one bathroom on each floor. But in any case, you start thinking about these things, and I was already kind of a buff of the Civil War.
Well, that's what I was going to ask, because like the Lamb, the Silver Swan has these famous guests like Samuel Clemens and Dickens and Lincoln and Hemingway, Harriet Beecher Stowe, Grant. But you use some of these famous folks, particularly Grant, to weave in some American history, like of the Civil War Battle of Vicksburg and the treatment of American Indians and the Underground Railroad. So you were a history buff. You didn't have to do a lot of extra research to weave that in?
No, I didn't. But on the other hand, I didn't realize when you write a book, of course, the book is fictional. But on the other hand, a lot of the historical stuff I mentioned in the book, you can't just casually throw in a date or two or a person or two in the wrong century. So I had to do a lot of research on each of the people to make sure they were alive at that point in time. And in a couple of cases, like, for example, Harry Beecher Stowe, who wrote Uncle Tom's Cabin, I knew she had to be alive at the certain date that I wrote about because I had read some of her stuff anyway, and I knew when she lived. And there were some that were obvious. And Grant did stay at the Golden Lamb. I don't know when, though. But the reason he stayed there at the Golden Lamb was because he worked in Illinois quite a bit as a young lieutenant in the Army, and he went back and forth, and so he stayed there, I'm told, a couple of times. I know for sure he stayed there at least once. So I picked up on that and kind of weaved it into my story a little bit.
There's been kind of a renaissance or re-examination of U.S. Grant recently. So you were ahead of the curve in your interest with Grant?
I think so. You know, strangely enough, John, I think I was. I just picked up a book that I'd read parts of, a really big book by a guy named Chernoff, she wrote a book, biographical, and I'd read reviews of that. And yeah, I had already written my book, or the first version of it, when I read that he had defended Grant quite a bit and told how great a president he was. Well, that struck me as challenging in a sense, because I remember as a kid, for at least one teacher in my elementary school, which was Glendale, one teacher saying how lousy a president Grant was. And I guess she went on to describe that his terms were full of scandal and that sort of thing. And then again in college, I remember some reference to it from a history teacher about how lousy Grant was as a president. And I thought, it didn't seem that awful when I read about him in this book that was published last year. And I'd read a lot about Grant, and I kind of like the guy.
Your book also has some American Indian history and something about a federal government census or moving Indians out of the area. How do you know this?
You know, they moved lots of Indians from South Carolina and Tennessee. I guess it's called the Long
Trail of Tears.
Trail of Tears. Mm-hmm. But that was earlier. But then in our state and in Illinois and Indiana, they did have federal agents come through at one point or another and try to move some of the Indians out of where they lived and into reservations out west. It wasn't a massive move, but it was kind of a one tribe and then another tribe and that sort of thing. And I alluded to that in the book because the book takes place in 1998-99, and then this Indian who's old enough to be born like almost at the end of the 19th century, and he remembers a lot of the old days and everything. Mm-hmm. I did know an Indian at that point in time. I kind of picked on him to talk about the Indian situation, which I didn't get into a whole lot, but I wound up with a story that has to do with perceptions that aren't always, you know, accurate.
So how long was the story kicking around in your head? Has it been the 20 years?
I wouldn't say 20, John, more like 10. I think I wrote it initially about 2010, 2011, or something like that. And then I realized it wasn't cutting the mustard, so to speak. Then I wrote a play, and I thought it fit better into a play than a book even, so I wrote a play. And the play was stage read at the Aronoff with a cast of people, actors, and it was produced one night only. And then at the end of the thing, while they had a question and answer period for the audience, I had to answer a bunch of questions, and I realized these people started asking questions. They pinned me down on a lot of things, and I thought, God, I'm really screwed up here. So I realized then that I had to revise the play to make it a little bit shorter and hard-hitting. And then I wound up revising the book instead, which is the book you're reading now.
Well, Ted, I got to tell you, I really enjoyed it. And if you make that main character, Lee, the new hotel manager, just a little younger, I think you could sell this idea to the Hallmark Channel for a movie. I just thought you really wove a lot of things really well, and you had some suspense to it, and you pulled it off, man.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that, John. It was fun doing it, and I really enjoyed doing it. As a matter of fact, I do think that it would make a great movie, like a Jack Lemmon-type movie or somebody similar to that, and because it does have its light moments. Essentially, a better writer than I could take it and turn it into a pretty humorous story, I think, altogether. And
the book is called Grant's Wish. Where can our listeners find it?
Well, they can find it on Amazon. And you know, I was asking whether it was a mystery or a romance novel by the publisher a couple of years ago. And I said, I'm not sure what to call it exactly, but it's kind of an adventure, kind of a Nancy Drew mystery in a way. Tying it all together at the end was kind of fun because I could talk about TV trucks rolling in to take pictures of the Indian, right, who turns out to be a pretty funny Indian. You know, he's a philosophical guy, and so it was kind of fun doing that part of it especially.
This was great. Thank you.
Thanks, John. I appreciate your helping this.
My guest tonight is Ted Pollard, a retired Middletown Journal reporter who just published his first novel called Grant's Wish, which is available on Amazon. You can find more information about his book at our website, wvxu.org. For Around Cincinnati, I'm John Kieswetter.